We have just concluded Siman Tov Resh Chaf Tes, which were the halachas of Schach Pasel. We are about to start Siman Tov Resh Lamed, and we'll be doing Sifim Aleph and Beis. But maybe before we start, let's do a quick chazara of all the psulim of Schach. So Schach had to first of all had to be something that grows from the ground. Anything that did not grow from the ground, such as leather, metals, ground itself, all of them were pasul for schach. The next thing was anything that is makabel tuma is pasul. Now, with regard to things that are makabel tuma, we had several classes of them. One was kelim, anything that was actually a keli, which is either a keli d'oraisa, which is metal that was used for something, which really doesn't have to be mentioned because it doesn't grow from the ground anyway, or wood. But it has a kli kibul, it holds something, or midrabanan, anything that is used as a tray that you put objects on, or similarly a shovel, even if it's flat, but you place things in it. So those are also makabel tuma, so it doesn't make a difference if it's a daraisa or a derabanan. We also saw that anything that came from a keli, it was once a keli is pasul. If it came from a keli derabanan, b'shas atchak, it was kosher, otherwise not. The next form was the form of threads or clothing. Clothing is makabel tuma. Makabel tuma is negoim. With regard to flax, we saw that if it's on its way to becoming thread, once you actually soaked it and banged it and combed it, it was almost thread, and we said that should not be used because it's on its way to becoming makabel tuma. And the Mishnah Berurah was even machmer lechatchila, even if it was just soaked. And b'dieved, he said, if it was soaked and banged, but not yet combed, one should be machmer, and didn't even know if you can rely on that b'shas atchak. As far as rope was concerned, one doesn't use that because it has lost its tzura of gedulei karka. It no longer looks like it's gedulei karka. And the next form of things that are makabel tuma is food. So anything that is Michael Adam, not just for refuah, but it's actually people food, is makabel tuma, and you could not use that, even though it was not hukshal makabel tuma. And then we went into the halacha of, if it is connected to something, then you need psolis meruba al ochal to make it kosher. If it's ochal meruba al psolis, it is pasul. Whereas, if you cut it for food, then not only do you need psolis meruba, than the fruit itself, but also the three tfachim or more of yados, of the yadayim. So those were those halachas, which are the halachas of Kabbalah's Tuma, again, and something that doesn't grow from the ground. The other one was something that's mechuba lekarka, a tree is pasul, something that you stuck into the ground if it took root in the ground, or something that was built on the ground. Whereas if you took a finished object and just put it on the ground, that is not mechuba, and that would not be pasul. Then we had the psulim derabanan. The Rabbanan said that anything that will shrivel up over Sukkos and not remain there is considered as if it's not there. The Rabbanan also said not to use anything that has either a repulsive smell, an odor that you would feel uncomfortable with and you may leave. The Mishnah Berurah spoke of that. If it's really revolting, then it's pasul midaraisa. If a normal person would not want to live in a place like that, then it's actually pasul midaraisa. Also something that sheds regularly, where you may find it so inconvenient, so uncomfortable, that you're actually going to leave that also. Unlike the other psulim, this particular psul d'rabbanan, the psul of smell and things falling, is only a psul l'chatchila, but if you already made your sukkah, you would not have to make it. You would not have to make the sukkah over again. Chazal also asked using a chavila, which is a packet, a bundle that is normally used for drying, a bundle that is where you tie together a bunch of reeds, for example, or other stuff for them to dry out. That was a gzera otu tasev olomina asui. If you undid it, then that would be all right. We saw the shear to a bundle. And the next one was nesorim, a neser, a cut wood, which is four tefachim thick. Even if you put it sideways, Chazal answered it. We saw two reasons for that. It was either because you may use so much that it won't let the rain in, from where we got another halacha, that the smock holes that a sukkah that the rain can come into is a sukkah psula. And the other reason is because it looks like the stuff that they use to roof buildings with, in which case we're afraid that you're going to ask yourself, well, what's the difference between this and my house? And you'll end up sitting in your house. The Mechaber did say that our minhag is not to use nesorim, even that are thinner. And the reason there was given because it's common today for them to use even thinner slats in actually building up the ceiling of an apartment. So these were the other psulim. Then we had another halach at the end, which is if you have a schach, which is you have schach kosher, and underneath it or over it you put a sadin, you went and put a sheet. So there we have the opinion of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, the only time it's kosher is if it is lenoi, if it is for decoration, and it is within four tefachim of the schach. There we would say it is butl to the schach. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, so long as that was not which was making your sukkah kosher, and your sukkah was already kosher beforehand, you made a sukkah which was tzilsa merubah mechamsa, you don't need the sheet to keep your schach from falling apart, from drying up. There the halacha was that it is butl to your sukkah, and it would be kosher. The only time that it would not be is if you needed it to keep your sukkah kosher. We saw the Ikar Adin was like Rashi. We rely on Rabbeinu Tam B'Shas Hadchak, but one would not make a brach over it. There was one other halacha that came up, not the halacha of the schach itself, but the Mishnah Brura brought down the opinions that being mamid the schach with a davra makabel tumah, supporting the stuff, the schach, with something that is puzzle for schach, is also aser midrabanan because of fear that you're going to end up using it as schach, with the exception of stone and concrete, because nobody is going to think that you can use that as schach. But a maimid the maimid, that which is supporting the, say, the beams that are holding up your schach, that is allowed to be makabel tumah, so you're allowed to actually use nails for that. Now we're up to Simen Tov Reish Lamed, the halachas of the walls. So the first halacha, Sif Aleph, Kol HaDvarim K'sherim L'Dfanas, and the Mechaber is saying, unlike all of these specifications that we had for Schach, when it comes to Dfanos, you can make your Dfanos out of any material you want. The Mishnah, the Bir Halacha, mentions that you have to remember that if the schach is sitting on the walls, meaning what is supporting your schach is not some other frame, but the walls themselves, then we are l'chatchilo choshish that the walls should not be something puzzle the schach. You would have to use wood that is not a keli in order to support the schach, otherwise you have the problem of maimid. The ein sarach la'amidam derek dilasan. The Rama says that unlike a luliv that must be held the way it grows, a sukkah, the sukkah walls, you don't have to find out which way the wood grew. You can use boards of wood, even though you may be having them upside down. Then the Mechaber says, "Vafilu chamsa merubin tzilsa machmas adfanos." The tfanos don't have to be able to keep the sun out; only the schach does. The tfanos can be—we're going to see later—the tfanos can have big gaps in them, and they're still considered kosher for tfanos. The Rama says that you should not use the one thing that you should not use for tfanos, for the walls of the sukkah, because of something we learned in the case of schach. Remember that gzera d'rabbanon, that anything that is either has an odor that is not pleasant, or something that sheds, and it's going to disturb you in this fear, you're going to leave your sukkah, so you shouldn't use that for schach. So he says the same thing would be with the walls. If it's something that doesn't smell very good, why should you leave the sukkah only because of the schach? You can leave it for the walls just the same. Therefore, you should not make the walls of something that does not smell especially good. The Mishnah Brura goes into the issue of someone who builds a sukkah outside his home in a place where there's some kind of odor. In those days, we're talking about the outhouses, the washrooms that they had that were outside the buildings may have been nearby. Otherwise, the same would go if you've got a sewer that has a foul odor. So there the halacha would be that your sukkah is kosher, but you can't make a bracha in it. So it's going to be kind of hard to fulfill the mitzvahs. He also says to be careful that you're not building a sukkah in a place that you don't have permission to, such as public land that you did not get permission to build on. Okay, now we get to Sif Beis. And Sif Beis is already getting into the halachas of the minimal shear of what you need for walls of a sukkah. The Gemara tells us there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that you need three walls for a sukkah, but the third wall you can get away with a minimum of one tefach. Shtayim kil chasan, two full walls u'shlishis afilu tefach. The third wall can be one tefach wide. Now, the Gemara gives us a whole description of what will make that third wall kosher with a tefach. So to begin with, there are many Rishonim who say that that is all a drabana. When the Halacha Moshe Sinai said, Shtayim kilchosa u'shlish afilu tefach, it meant it. Two good walls and a tefach, you've got a sukkah. However, midrabanan, that is not good enough. What do you have to do? So, you have your two walls at a right angle. That's what we're talking about. Two walls at a right angle. If you have your two walls at a right angle, where do you put the tefach? So, say, take one of the open sides and take a piece that is a little bit more than a tefach, which also seems to be a derabanan, a little bit more than a tefach, and put it just under three tefachim from the edge of the wall. So, you have your two walls here, and then right near this wall, a little bit less than three tefachim from this wall, what you do is you put a little bit more than a tefach. What did you accomplish? If you take those three, less than three, so we said that there's a halacha of lavud, they're considered connected. Less than three and a little more than one give you four. You now have a wall that is four tefachim. Right? You now have a wall of four tefachim. The shear of a sukkah ketana, the smallest size sukkah, the shear that we were makabel for that is 7 by 7 tefachim. The Chachamim said that less than 7 by 7 is not considered a place to live, it is a chicken coop, so that the smallest size sukkah would be 7 by 7. If you have 4, that is Rov of Zion. Dalit is Rov of Zion. 4 is the majority of 7. So the Chachamim say at this point, you have Rov of a wall, Rov of the minimum wall. So your little more than a tefach just became 4 by putting it a drop less than 3 from this other side, and you now are left with a 4 out of 7 wall. But that's not enough. Then they said, so what do you got here? You have your two walls and your tefach. Now you've got to go and make a tzuras ha-pesach, going from the end of your tefach to the end of your sukkah. What's a tzuras ha-pesach? A pole here, and a string above it. Something on top of that. It doesn't have to be a string. It can even be a string, but it's got to be something. You can have a piece of wood going over it, so that what you're left with is two walls, a space of less than three, a little bit more than one, and then a tzuras ha-pesach, the form of a door. This way, your side is complete. You have one side complete, a second side complete, the third side, that is a space, a little bit more than a tefach, and then a tzuras ha-pesach. And this will give you three walls, which the Rabbanan then say, that will make yourself a kosher sukkah. This idea of Tzuras HaPesach, we know in other areas, such as in Shabbos, a Tzuras HaPesach and Kelayim, a Tzuras HaPesach counts as a fence. The question is, what's with sukkah? Theoretically, if you just put four poles down and put strings going from one to the other, so you now have four entrances, four Tzuras HaPesach, would that be a kosher sukkah if you now put tzchach on top of it? So it's definitely not good. The question is a d'oraisa or a d'rabbana. The Ran says that it is not good for sukkah. That's not what the Torah meant by sukkah. Sukkah means walls. It doesn't mean tzuras pesachs. Whereas the Mishnah or the Bir Halacha brings from the Rosh that that's a d'rabbana. D'oraisa, it would have been good enough. Now there's another thing that that may have been good, and we'll see. Not just may have been good, but may actually be good. We find the halacha in Shabbos, that you can create a Rishus HaYachid by way of strings. You can just make a whole Rishus HaYachid with strings. What kind of strings? Where you put four poles in the ground, and then a drop less than three tefachim off the ground, put a string. So we now have a shir lavud. So long as it's within three, it's considered sealed. Now, again, within three tefachim of that, put another string. So now we got the two together. You already have six. Put another string within three, and then you'll need another one, and all together you'll find yourself with a wall that in halacha is higher than 10 tefachim because of the lavuds. It got filled in. That would be good. The Magen Avraham says that the halacha that we learned in this sif in Shulchan Aruch, of shtayim kilchasen u'shlishes afilu tefach, for that, you need real walls. Those two shtayim kilchasen have to be kilchasen, not lavuds, real full walls. It's only if you have four sides, if you're having all four sides with strings, that'll be good. If you want to use strings, you need four walls. You need four sides of strings. You want to use stein kol chasn shlishes afilu tefach. Strings won't be good enough. You need real walls, not lovewoods. So that the minimum sukkah then, the minimal sukkah, would come in two forms. One is the Shulchan Aruch case, which is stein kol chasn shlishes afilu tefach. And the second one would be the Magen Avraham's case, which is the halach in Shabbos of just strings with the lovewood in between. But there, according to the Magen Avraham, you would need it on all four sides. Three would not be sufficient. Now, going back to our Stein, Kilchasn, and Shlishas Afilu Tefach, where you needed a Tzuras HaPesach, how far did the Tzuras HaPesach have to go? So I pointed out that you have two walls here. You have your Tefach, a little bit more than the Tefach, which is a little less than three away, and then do your Tzuras HaPesach to the end. The real halach is it doesn't have to go the whole way. It only has to go to the end of the seven Tfachim. Meaning, if you've got less than three and a little more than one, you have four. For the next three Tfachim, you need a Tzuras HaPesach. Once you have a complete wall of seven tfachim, it makes the rest of the sukkah kosher as well. And you would not need any more. Although in Sharetzin he brings other opinions, this is the way he paskins. So altogether, what you need is two full walls, space of less than three, a piece of a little more than one tefach, a tzuras ha-pesach, just finishing up to zayin to seven tfachim, and that's it. Now, the Ramah says that for a tzuras ha-pesach, you don't have to build a special tzuras ha-pesach. He says, what if your walls go up to the schach? That means your schach is supported on the walls. The schach is not being supported by some other frame. You have your tzuras ha-pesach, you had your tefach over there, and then say at the end of seven, you put a pole. So now if you look up, you have a tzuras ha-pesach. You have the pole going up, you have your schach coming down, and then the other side coming down. So that's all you need. You already have a natural tzuras ha-pesach. You don't have to build a new one. When it said to make a tzuras ha-pesach, it was referring to when you have schach that is sitting on some other platform inside your sukkah and is not being supported, so that you don't have a tzuras ha-pesach because there's nothing really going all the way up to the schach. Now the halacha is that it doesn't have to touch the schach. A tzuras ha-pesach works so long as if you would follow the pole straight up, you would hit the horizontal piece. So that the only time it would be a problem and you would need a new tzuras ha-pesach is if the schach is in a little bit. But if the schach is not in, the schach comes out and it is directly above the poles, that will be good too. Similarly, when you're making a tzuras ha-pesach and you're using a string on top, the string does not have to be touching the poles, but it must be directly over the poles. If you would actually, if you would hang a pendulum right down, it would hit the poles going up. So you need a tzuras ha-pesach here, tzuras ha-pesach made of two poles and something on top of it, whether it's your schach, a string, or a horizontal piece of wood. It does not have to touch it as long as it's directly above those two poles.